More in 24. Right? That's the whole thing. More in 24. We began 2024 with the intent of having more. More of God in me and less of me in me. How many of us have got a lot of me in me? We've got to have more of Him in me and less of me in Him. In me. Him in me. So we find that throughout the scriptures, and particularly last week, it was John that said, I must decrease. Now, not taking that out of context, I understand the context of that when John said it. His ministry was to pave the way for Jesus. Jesus has arrived at 33. We find at 30, we find all of a sudden that ministry explodes and John sees him baptizing. His disciples ask, why is he baptizing more than what you are baptizing? And that's when John said, I must decrease. In other words, his ministry has come to fulfillment now. It's his ministry. I've just paved the way. So in our context this morning, I must decrease no matter what, and he must increase. And in our pursuance of more in 24, we consider what Paul said in Philippians, and that's just a reminder of last week. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, God's word translations. Brother and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. He is winning, but he's not the ultimate winner yet. And why does he say that? I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I do. I don't look back. All I do, I lengthen my stride. And that's what we're doing in 24, just lengthening our stride. I lengthen my stride and do what? I run straight. If I look back, I can't run straight. That's why I'm not looking back. We can look back to a lot of things in 23. Look forward. I run straight toward the goal. And that's the winner concept. That's the winner mentality. I run straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly call offers in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. Pursuing more of God in me and less of me in me. In many ways, 2024 is going to be similar to 2023 in many, many ways. For example, I will still see the sun and I will still see the moon. There will still be day, there will still be night. There will still be 24 hours in a day. There are still going to be people on planet Earth in 24, believe it or not. We are going to have ups and downs. You had them in 23, you're going to have it in 24. We're going to have our ups and our downs, whether we like it or not. It's part of life. That's how we operate within our life. There's going to be laughter. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be births. There's going to be deaths, no matter what. So very similar to 2023, we're going to experience in 2024. However, there is one exception in 2024. The one exception in 2024 is we are going to have a presidential election. And that's going to bring some fireworks. It's going to liven up your blood pressure, it's going to liven up the communication within your house, and you are going to have some great topic to debate, especially at Thanksgiving when everything is over. So we're going to have a presidential election. Wow. But to help you and me face 2024, I'm going to point to a man that faced adversities. We're going to look at this man briefly, look at what transpired in his life, because we learn from history. Sometimes we learn. We're going to learn from this individual and see how he operated, how he managed life. Look at his strengths, his integrity in God, and most of all, serving God with every facet of his entire being. His catchphrase, which is amazing, his catchphrase, as we will look at it in the Old Testament, is, give me this mountain. Your mind is ticking already. Some of you are catching it quick. The person who said, give me this mountain. And at a certain age, he said, give me this mountain. So for you guys and gals that are 80 plus, man, your life is only beginning. My life is almost over. Yours is beginning. I mean, I'm a dinosaur. So we find that looking at this individual this morning, give me this mountain, and I would add on to what he said. And this is what I believe. I say that if he can do it, you can do it. Give me this mountain. You can do it. You and I can do it because we're going to learn from this individual. Background, history. Israel was enslaved. The nation Israel was enslaved for hundreds of years. A man by the name of Moses was used by God to lead the people out of Egypt. God had promised a land of milk and honey for them. He promised them that he's going to take them out of slavery and take them to the land of milk and honey, where they are actually now, including the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip was there in these times as well. That's where the giants that we're going to see in Scripture, well, that's where they are, in that area and areas surrounding. So Israel is going to be led to Canaan, the promised land. They're in the Sinai Desert at the border of Canaan, the promised land, and God does amazing things. He instructed them, Moses, to send out 12 guys to go over and spy out this land called Canaan. And that's what he did. He got one from each tribe, 12 tribes within the Israel complex. And he said, go and spy out the land. And Moses gives these guys instructions and he sends them off. And after 40 days, these 12 guys come back to report what they have found, what they have seen, what they have experienced. And now as we look at these 12 guys, I want you to see the difference of people's opinions. You and I can look at something right now and we can draw different conclusions. What do you see in this thing? Water? Half full? Half empty? From different perspectives. One sees water. Doesn't anybody see a glass? It's a glass that holds water. So we can come with different opinions or different perspectives. And that's what you're going to see within these 12 guys. But you're going to notice something. And one of the things that I believe you should notice is that the majority is not always right. The majority can be wrong. It all depends on your perspective that you see things in. And I want us to learn from this. So after 40 days, the 12 return and they bring back items that are so impressive. And we're going to go a number of scriptures and Numbers 13, 26, all the way to 33. Look what the Message translation says. They presented themselves before Moses, the leader, and Aaron, his brother, the priest, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel. Bear in mind, and I'll mention it later on again, there's about 3 million people in this desert, apart from the cattle, apart from the sheep, apart from the goats and the dogs and the cats. So we find the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They reported to the whole congregation. Now imagine you being the congregation. We are promised to go into Canaan. We sent 12 spies out. They're coming back with a report, but they had some beautiful things in their hands, which was visual and visible and impressive, and showed them the fruit of the land. Wow, they brought fruit back? Then they told the story of their trip. You, the audience? I'm Moses, or I could be Caleb, or I could be Joshua. I could be part of the spies, or I can be Moses. Then they told the story of their trip. We went into the land to which you sent us. Number one, they were obedient. Number two, they brought back a report. Number three, they're acknowledging that they were sent. We went to the land to which you sent us. And oh, it does flow with milk and honey. In other words, this is productive land. Very productive land. So that caught their attention. That was seared into their mind. Oh, it does flow with milk and honey. And just to prove what I'm telling you, what we are telling you, just look at the fruit. I mean, kind of look at the grapes. These grapes are on steroids, my mate. We don't have these kind of grapes. Egypt did not have these kind. These grapes are on steroids. The only thing, notice the positive. The only thing is that the what? The people who live there are fierce. So here's the grapes. It flows with milk and honey. But you know what, guys? The people that live there are fierce. Their cities are huge and well fortified. Worship. Notice the swing of perception. They go from something very positive, and now they go to almost something very negative. But is it negative, or are they just reporting what they saw? They are reporting what they saw, but they take it a step further, and I'll show you. They are fierce, cities are huge, well fortified. Now you see the decline. Worse, man, this is not, forget about the fruit. I'm now talking to you about the people. Fortified, the cities. People are fierce. Worse yet, so this is nothing. The worst is to come. Worse yet, we saw descendants of the giant Anak. Amalekites are spread out. These are all enemies of Israel. Are spread out in the Negev. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites. They hold the hill countries in this land of Canaan. And the Canaanites are established on the Mediterranean Sea along the Jordan. What do you notice? There were 12 spies. They're presenting to Moses and the congregation what they have observed. One positive account. One. Rest is negative. But are they lying? No. No. But they forget who actually sent them. Was it Moses? Yeah, but who's behind it? God. God. Why do I say God? Because he promised the land. If God makes a promise to you, will you walk through the fire if you have to get to the promise? Good question. Caleb, 40 years old, somewhere around there, right? Interrupted. Called for silence before Moses. The people were getting under the skin. The spies were getting underneath the skin of the people and doing what? Putting a first impression that is negative. How powerful is a negative impression? Very powerful. Once you present a positive after a negative, it's very unlikely that the positive will conquer the negative. You'll always have the negative predominantly in your mind. That was the first thing set there. The same way you go into a place and it's not nice. That's your first impression. But people tell you, no, just go back again. Just go back. Nope, you've got this idea. This place is not nice. Caleb interrupted, called for silence before Moses and said, let's go up and take the land now. Are you nuts, mate? Are you just after the grapes? Didn't you just hear? I was there with you guys. Hold your peace. Let's go up and take the land now. We can do it. I love it when everybody says we can't and somebody says we can. We can. We can do it. But the others. What others? The others that were spies with Caleb. We can't attack those people. What did these spies forget? Help him. What did they forget? The power of God, Marie. Weren't they just led out of Egypt? Didn't they see what God did in the wilderness for them? Didn't they see the miracles? And this becomes a problem? We can't attack these people. They are way stronger than we are. Now we can use, and we do use that same terminology, forgetting that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I can't conquer this. Yes, you can. Notice, guys, please. This is so common amongst Christians. It's so common within the world. It's so common with non-believers or people that are not followers of Christ to use this kind of language that if things look too difficult, it cannot be done. And notice, we can't attack those people. They are way stronger than we are. And they began to do what? How successful is scary rumors? Successful? Very successful. They spread scary rumors among who? They spread it to you. One man said, we can do it. The others started spreading scary rumors. And I can assure you, it was most on a one-to-one basis. I will tell you, you will go tell somebody, you will go tell somebody. And by the time the person at the back hears it, man, they bombed out. We're not going anywhere. We're just going to stay right here. Because the rumor changes. They spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. They said, we scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that's what? Swallows people whole. Oh my golly, Miss Molly. You see the scary rumors already? And if I tell you that, guys, we're not going to, this land swallows people whole. Who wants to go to a land that swallows people whole? But don't you think God didn't know that? Yet he promised that land to them. And everybody we saw was huge. They must have been Americans that eat at, maybe McDonald's, Michael? No, the people were huge. Why? We even saw the Nephilim giants. And of course, this is a big thing. The Anak giants from the Nephilim. Along them, we felt like, look at their perception. Among them, we felt like grasshoppers. And they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. Can you see the scary rumor? After they presented that to you, how many feel like fighting now this morning? Anybody? Grasshoppers, you want to go? If that is presented to you this morning, how do you feel about Canaan, the promised land? They look down on us as if we are grasshoppers. Look at the, I want to go on to the next one. In Numbers 14, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 6 to 12, the whole community, millions, was in an uproar. What were they doing? What is wailing? How can he do it? I don't want to go anywhere. Oh, shut your mouth. Wailing all night long. Wait a bit, don't let's be hard. How many Christians wail all night long when they are in their troubles? All the people notice the negative impact of the spies. 10 of them. 2 were good. Notice the influence 10 had on the people. All the people of Israel grumbled. Against who? Who's Moses? Their leader. Who chose the leader? God chose the leader. So if they grumbled against Moses, who are they grumbling against? Grumbling against God? But God chose Moses. He appointed him. And Aaron, the priest. The entire community was in on that. The masses. Now look at the terminology and understand the mindset. They are totally enslaved in their mind already. They are dejected. There's no hope. There's no faith based on 10 people's report. The entire community was in on it. Why didn't we die in Egypt? Oh, come on, come on. Or in where? The wilderness. Oh, well, there were a number of occasions God didn't want to do it. Why has God brought us to the country to kill us? Are they true? Is that statement true? No, why not? God promised them what? The promised land. It did not bring them into the desert to kill them. And sometimes you and I've got to go through tough lives. We've got to go through the wilderness. We've got to go through hurts. We've got to go through disappointments. But there's a promise. Our promise is we're going to see him face to face. Our promise is our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our promise is we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But he says, why has God brought us to this country to kill us? Our wives and children are about to become plunder. Why don't we just head back to Egypt? What was in Egypt? Slavery. They did not see the slavery. All they did is smell the garlic and the onions. Why don't we just head back to Egypt? And when are we going to do it? But they don't forget where they are now and what it took them to get there now. And you think if they're going to go back to Egypt, the Pharaoh is going to, oh, I'm so glad to have you back. After the majority or many of the soldiers died pursuing the Israelites, and now Pharaoh, oh, so nice having you back, guys. Come on, make some more bricks for me. Why don't we just head back to Egypt? And right now, soon, they were all saying it. Soon. See one rumor? How it influenced the people? Watch out for gossip. Soon, they were all saying it to who? Guys, they started a downward spiral that is going to lead to big trouble here. Gossip can start and go down a hole that is devastating. The rumors spread to one another, and all of a sudden there's consensus. The consensus is do what? Pick a new leader. Oh, Who gives you the right to pick a new leader? What audacity do you have to pick a new leader from the one that God has given to you? Let's pick a new leader and do what? Oh, let's head back to Egypt. Look at the next one. 6 to 12. That's the people. That's how they were influenced. That's what rumors do. It paralyzes people. Joshua, the other one of the spies, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Members of the scouting party. Part of the 12. The 2 that were okay with what God was going to do. The 10 that was not okay. Members of the scouting ripped their clothes. They mad. Ripped their clothes and addressed the assembly. People of Israel. You Israel. People of Israel. The land we walked through and scouted out is what? Different perspective. Different perspective. Very good land. Very good indeed. Is that a truth or a half-truth? Bear in mind, and I'll bring it to your attention, it's a half-truth. But it's true. There was not dispute about the land because the land was milk and honey from the other 10 that actually brought the fruit. They were talking about the inhabitants of the land. Joshua did not even mention the inhabitants of the land. He just said the land is very good. Indeed, it's very good. But he goes on and says, if God is pleased with us. Well, is God pleased with us? Originally, yes, that's why he sent you. He will lead us into that land. A land that flows, as they say, with milk and honey. And he'll give it to us. Why will he give it to us? Because he said so. He promised it. Joshua is sensing something about the uproar of the people. What is he sensing? Rebellion. Just don't rebel against God. Verse 10. And don't be afraid of those people. Wow. Notice the perspective again. Don't be afraid of those people. We will have them for lunch. Now, I don't know what you've been smoking, Joshua. I don't know on what planet you are, my mate. I just heard a different description from your other colleagues. Your other colleague said, we are like grasshoppers. They are giants, which in my mind means they're going to have us for lunch. And you telling me we're going to have them for lunch? Really? If God is for us? That's a different perspective. That's the different perspective. That's his perspective. We'll have them for lunch. And he clarifies, how does he do that? They have no protection. And yet comes the important thing. God is on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God says go, we go. But I see the land is like milk and honey, but the people are so huge. My challenges just seem so big. If God wants you to have it, you're going to have it. They have no protection, and God is on our side. Notice how he swings it. The other 10 spies brought scare tactics. The other 10 spies got the people intimidated because they were looking in the natural. What is Joshua doing? He's recognizing the natural, but he's telling them, I want you to go further. I want you to look who's with us. So now you have flesh and spirit, if you want to. And all of a sudden he says to them, don't be afraid of them. But up in arms now, the community, were they listening to him? Do you think they were impressed by Joshua? What do you think? Were they impressed by Joshua's positive outlook and statement about God? Once negativity sets in, it's very seldom you can get something positive and acknowledge it. Because now negativity is ingrained in your mind. And somebody will tell you, guys, don't be afraid. Come on, push through. You saying, no ways. Joshua's word to them virtually had no impact. But up in arms now, the entire community was talking of hurling what? At them. Who's them? Joshua, Caleb, Moses, and Aaron. Four righteous people, four people that believed God, are now becoming victims by those that don't trust God. He doesn't know what I'm going through. He's never been in my position. How dare he say this? I'm not afraid of negativity. I'm not afraid of negative people. Just then, oh my gosh, now notice this. One man with God is what? A majority. That's what the Bible says. Do not waver in your faith. Do not compromise in your walk with God. Just then, the bright glory of God appeared at the tent of meeting, and every Israelite saw it. I mean, this must have been something magnificent. All of a sudden, this is no longer a conflict or a problem between the people. Many times we take actions and we think it's just about us, not recognizing there comes a point, if you want to, that God intervenes. Or God appears and voices himself, if you want to. God appears. And God said to Moses, how long will these people treat me like dirt? That's a hard saying, guys. But don't we sometimes treat him like dirt? When we don't trust him, when we don't have faith in him, when he doesn't answer the way we want him to answer? How long refuse to trust me? He brought them out of Egypt. He proved himself. They were hungry. He gave them food. Their clothes lasted for years. They didn't have to go to Macy's. They didn't have to go to JCPenney. They didn't have to go to Amazon. Their clothes just lasted. And with all these signs, notice God, with all these signs I've done among them, and they still distrust me? They still treat me like dirt? You know what? I've had enough. I don't want to hear those words from God. I've had enough. How many parents have told their children, I've had enough of you? You're lucky to be alive still. I've had enough of you. I'm going to hit them with a plague. God's going to send a plague? But only all good things come from God. I'm going to hit them with a plague. And do what? I'm going to kill them. But I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you a bigger nation and stronger than you ever were. Well, God did not kill all of them. But he allowed them to wander in the desert for 40 years, which was only a week's journey, turned into 40 years, until everyone over the age of 20 had died, except Joshua and Caleb. How many died? Well, everybody over 20. I mean, that's the majority, yeah? And we've got a handful of people, a handful of kids that are going to take over this, and God's going to make them a bigger nation and stronger than ever before. How's he going to do it? He's God. Everybody over the age of 20 died except Joshua. Okay, we've seen what's happened now. Let's fast forward 45 years. And we get to Joshua 14, verse 7 to 12. I was 40 years old when Moses, this is Caleb speaking, I was 40 years old. And now we're fast forwarding 45 years. How old is he now? 85. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back an honest and accurate report. My companions who went with me, what did they do? Discouraged the people. If your faith in God is strong, your message is positive. When your faith in God is not strong, your message is negative. We see that within the 10 and the 2. The 2 had faith in God. Their message was strong. The 10, their faith in God wasn't that strong. It was evident through what they were projecting. By your fruit, you will know people. But notice, I love it. My colleagues, those that came with me, they discouraged the people. But what did I do? I stuck to my guns. Notice the terminology from the message translation. I stuck to my guns, totally with God, my God. Has his faith in God wavered since? 45 years later, has his faith wavered? No, no. A lot of water has gone under this bridge. That was the day that Moses solemnly promised. The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance. It's taken 45 years to come to pass. And now Caleb says, I want this inheritance. The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance. You and your what? Your children's forever. Yes, you have lived totally for God. Now look at me. God has kept me alive as he promised. It is now 45 years since God spoke this word to Moses. Years in which Israel wandered in the desert. And here I am today. I love this, guys. Here I am today, 85 years old. I'm as strong as I was. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm not even there. And I said, I'm weak already. I'm ready to go home, man. I'm as strong as I was the day Moses sent me out. As a 40-year-old, I'm as strong as ever in... Oh, come on, your mind is warped, my mate. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You're 85 years old. What can you do? Watch me. Watch me. I'm as strong as ever in battle, whether coming or going. He doesn't ask for level land. He doesn't ask for plain land. What does he ask for? Give me this hill country. Who's in the hill country? The giants. The giants. That's why I've said to you before, never be afraid of your giants. Face your giants. Be afraid of the foxes. It's the foxes that can bite on your heels all the time. The giant you can't miss. He's too big to miss. So give me this hill country that God promised me. That God promise. How long has he waited for this promise to be fulfilled? 45 years. What do you notice? He's been faithful through all the years serving God. You yourself heard the report that the Anakim, the giants, were there with their great fortress cities. If God goes with, do you see? He hasn't changed one bit. He hasn't changed one bit with his confession about God or even the way Joshua confessed. He says, if God goes with me, I will drive them out just as God said. For 45 years, he held on to that truth. But notice, he's not going to walk into the land of milk and honey. He's going to fight. But he's going to fight with the power of God that is within him. Your troubles, your challenges, you fight with God that is in you. I will drive them out just as God said. Joshua 14:12, I think it's in the God's Word translation. Now give me this mountain region which the Lord spoke of that day. You heard that the people of Anak are still there and they are large. They have large fortified cities. If the Lord is with me, I can force them out as he promised. What do you think happened? Let me speed up. What do you think happened? Did he win? Did he go into battle? Did he conquer? Why? Because God said it. Because God promised it. Isn't there a promise in the Bible, I will never leave you? So what's your worries? He conquered the giants and ruled the land. He was willing to do his part and be an instrument in the hands of God. Studying and preparing this, I'm reminded of a series on TV way back that I thoroughly enjoyed when I was in South Africa, The A-Team. You just dated yourself now. I love it when a plan comes together. You just date. For your younger generation, go check it out. Fantastic. I know you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But you can hear a lot of people know exactly what I'm talking about. But I don't belong to the A team. I belong to the G team. God's team. You belong to the G team. God's team. All things are possible to them that believe. The point is, it did not take 45 years for Caleb to get the inheritance. But why he got it? You know why he got it? What do you think? Why did he get this inheritance? I'm going to give you an acronym. And that acronym is going to be elaborated on in the next few weeks. Do you know why Caleb got his inheritance? Because of dope. He had dope. What's dope? Something you smoke? I'll tell you why he got it using the acronym, DOPE. The D, he got it for determination. He was determined. And you and I have got to get to a place in our lives that we are determined to go ahead because of the promise that God has given us. He's promised us he's coming back for us. But we are determined to fight the good fight, as Paul said. And that's why he was determined in his saying, give me this mountain. 45 years ago when it was promised. Determination. We need Christians that are determined and don't throw the towel in. We are determined to go ahead. Dope. Determination. You can't forget or neglect the O because it's obedience. Was he obedient? All the way. Or there were hard times. There were difficult times. There were challenging times. Same as you and I, going through life, difficult times, challenging times, hurtful times, but we are going to be and remain obedient to Him. Obedience. Joshua 14, verse 8. My companions who went with me discouraged the people, but I stuck to my guns, totally God, totally with God, my God. He was obedient. He followed the instructions of God. The P stands for perseverance. 45 years later, persevered. A beautiful scripture found in 2 Timothy, 1 verse 7 and 8. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Did Joshua have a spirit of fear? Did Caleb have a spirit of fear or timidity? What do you think? Did the other 10 have? So who are you then? 10 or 2? I want to be the 2. No, I'm gonna be the 2. I am the 2. I will not allow fear or timidity to get a hold of me if God has said it. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. I want to ask you, as my brothers and sisters, to put on an offensive mode within you. Fight the good fight and not succumb to things in life. Get that grit in you and say, I will serve the Lord because I love Him. But of power, of love, and self-discipline. So never, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for Him. When the strength God gives you, with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of good news. Notice, ready to suffer. Will we suffer in this world? In 2024? Possibly. But do we have promises from God? Yeah. We have promises from God. So we're going to remain faithful. Dope. Determination. Obedience. P. Perseverance. Energy. Energy. There's your dope, your acronym. So please, please, do not leave this church this morning and say, Pastor wants us to get on dope. It's an acronym. And if we want to go further, I want the acronym to get a hold of you. So let it be part of you. The energy, the strength of this man at age 85, give me this mountain where the giants are, and I will conquer it as God has promised. And of course, I cannot neglect in giving you that scripture in Philippians 4, verse 13, that we are so well versed with. And on top of it, from the Amplified Version, come on, let's read it together. I have for in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient. So what does that make you? Victorious. What does that make you? A winner. Are you part of the 10 or part of the 2? This is part of the 2 vocabulary. This is the G team. This is the G team. Psalm 27, verse 1. A psalm from David in the Message translation puts it across beautifully. Light, space, zest. That's God. So with Him on my side, I am what? Afraid of? No one and nothing. You can be afraid of yourself, and that will destroy you. Write this one down. Take a picture of it. In the Message translation, remind yourself when you go through those valleys. Think of the deep valleys that Caleb went through. Think of 45 years of what he endured. And yet we find he comes out. Give me this mountain. Come on, give it to me. Light, space, zest. That's all God. So with him on my side, I am fearless. Afraid of no one. Afraid of nothing. Like Caleb, I would encourage you to take on the giants and conquer them in Jesus' name. My prayer for you in Psalm 20 verse 4. May he grant your heart's desires. May he grant your heart's desires. And make all your plans succeed. That's my prayer for you. I want you to remind yourself constantly of Jeremiah 29 verse 11. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, it's a statement made particularly to Israel as well. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, you're taking that out of context. No, that is the context for the Israelites. Totally for the Israelites. Can I apply that for myself as a child of God? Yes. Because he's the giver of all good things. He does not give me stuff to destroy me, but for a future. Have I got a good future? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My future and your future is getting brighter and brighter and brighter, while the future of people that are not in Christ is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Heather found something the other day and read it to me, and I said, whoa, I want to share that with you this morning. Fantastic. In this life, we're going to have challenges. In this life, you're going to be challenged. There's going to be emotional challenges. There's going to be mental challenges. There's going to be physical challenges. Can I avoid it? No. But my faith is in God, unwavering faith in God. I'm on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. How are you doing? I'm doing fantastic. You got a sniff. Yeah, but I'm doing fantastic. Your throat is hoarse. Are you doing fantastic? Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. Well, you're about to die. Are you doing fantastic? Yeah. Because I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I'm awaiting my resurrected body, man. I'm doing fantastic. But facing challenges in life, you've got to choose. And I found this so applicable. Choose your hard. What is hard? Let me elaborate. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your hard. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your hard. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard. But we can choose our hard. Pick wisely. I thought that was so appropriate. Choose your hard. Next week, we are elaborating on the acronym DOPE, determination. Put God first in your life. Can we pray together, please?